From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say, oh, Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig, and sometimes other people. Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig, and sometimes other people.
All right, everybody. There we go. It's the Brian and Vinny Show. It is November 28, 2024. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. It is American Thanksgiving. We're thankful here today in America. At least in theory. Hopefully everyone around the world who is not celebrating American Thanksgiving is also thankful. But hey, listen. It's a big show today. Free.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, it's free on YouTube right now. The YouTube subscribers are suffering through a free chat. It's one day only, folks. Everything will be fine. And it's actually a good selling point right there. If you're in the chat throughout the show and you're like, oh my God, this chat is absolutely horrible. Look at everybody that has a green name. Those are like subscribers. If you sign up, you'll only be in with those people, not the rest of the riffraff. But anyway, it's free there. Free on Spotify. Free at WrestlingObserver.com. Free on Apple Podcasts. It's free everywhere. Because it's Thanksgiving, and that means tomorrow's Black Friday. And so, it's our Black Friday sale. So you're getting a freebie here, and if you enjoy tonight's show as we discuss AEW Dynamite and NXT, and you think, my God, I must sign up for this incredible content, well, we got some options for you. WrestlingObserver.com is half off today, 50% off. If you head up to WrestlingObserver.com and sign up, 50% off. And you not only get all the shows, we do like 15 to 20 shows a week. Actually, I did the math. It was 84 shows a week. So it's 21 shows a week or so. 84 shows a month.
Month, okay.
84 a month, yes. 21 a week.
Yeah, checks out.
84 a month, 21 a week. And if you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com, which is half off today, you get every show we've done dating back to 2005. So if you want to listen to a show from like 2007, some rando thing that happened in 2007, you can go back. 14,000 archived audio shows. And the site is 50% off today, WrestlingObserver.com. And if you don't want to sign up for all of that stuff, if you just like the podcast, you don't want the newsletter, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly archives, etc., the board, everything. If you just like podcasts, if you just want to listen on Apple Podcasts, if you go to Apple Podcasts right now, and the easiest way to find us is f4wonline.com/apple. That is f4wonline.com/apple. You can get 3 days absolutely free, a 3-day free trial. So go up right now and sign up, and you'll get 3 days worth of shows, which includes two Survivor Series reviews, one with Dave Meltzer and one with Vinny and I, and maybe Sean. We're all going up live on Saturday. You'll get two of those. You'll get Observer Live, but you'll also get everything we've already put up on Apple Podcasts. So if you want to go back and listen to some previous shows absolutely free, go to Apple Podcasts right now, f4wonline.com/apple, and sign up for the 3-day absolutely free trial. Enjoy the Survivor Series coverage and pay absolutely nothing. Matthew says, I can 100% vouch all of the subscription services I have. F4W is far and away the best. Thank you. And even paid $5 for that. Wow. He paid $5 to say that.
Huh.
So anyway, I won't waste anyone else's time. Enjoy the show today. If you like it, please sign up. Let's talk some Dynamite and NXT.
We watched AEW Dynamite November 27th, 2024. I loved this show.
You love Dynamite?
I didn't love everything on the show.
Really?
But as a show, on the whole, I love the show.
Interesting.
First of all, we open with a pay-per-view recap. Something important happened. We want to remind you all, bring you back up to speed if you've forgotten or if you just missed it. It may be just because they had paid for November Rain and wanted to get their money's worth, but I don't care. I got a pay-per-view recap. So the Costco guys beat QT Marshall. Private Party retained the tag team titles. MJF beat Roderick Strong. Kyle O'Reilly is peeved at Adam Cole. Mercedes Moné beat Chris Statlander. Switchblade Jay White beat Hangman Page. Takeshita beat Ricochet. Fletcher beat Ospreay. Mina turns on Mariah. Garcia wins the TNT title, which is interesting. They put it in this spot on the recap. It was much earlier in the show, as I recall. Lashley beat Swerve.
Actually, it wasn't. It was like two before the main event.
Are you certain?
I think I'm virtually certain.
That was a Fletcher match.
I can go back and check, but I'm pretty sure that went on almost at the end.
It's not that important. Lashley beat Swerve.
It is important to prove you wrong, Vinny.
Fair enough. Moxley beat Orange, and then chaos ensued. That was really cool. I'm glad we got a pay-per-view recap package to remind us all what happened in the last show.
And then, Jack Perry and Garcia was fourth from the top.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was only 32 matches before it.
So they're doing this, the recap, and Darby hits him with her truck, and then we got an extra bonus footage of Darby cutting a promo afterwards, where he's barely standing in the parking lot, bleeding everywhere, and promises John Moxley's not going to kill AEW. You can't kill it because you're going to die. And I looked at him and I said out loud, "What the fuck are you going to do about it? Because I just saw you get your ass beat last week. And I saw you get your ass beat the week before that. And by the end of the show, spoiler,
he got his ass beat again.
He sure did.
Yeah, so I mentioned this on several shows already, but hey, we got people that aren't subscribers. So if you watch the pay-per-view, Darby was in fact driving that fucking car, T-boned the truck, going full speed. That was Darby driving. And, you know, when he got out of the car, my initial thought was, oh my God, he damn near killed himself. Because, like, he's all bloody, he's stumbling around. Then he tries to get on top of a truck and he falls off. And I thought, this is not good. But as it turns out, he was fine. He was selling. And also, the reason he fell off the truck wasn't because he was concussed. Apparently, as he went to get on it, like, the bumper fell off. And so he fell off. Hmm. So, that was a mark. Yeah. What do you do?
So that is the past. Now it's time for the future. The Continental Classic has arrived. We got a hype video for that. All the 12 men involved were all running their mouths. It ends with Darby Allin saying, "What happens next is my fault." And he smashes the windshield with a skateboard. And they very quickly gloss over. Excalibur says, "The major changes in the format this year." Learn about those later. Here's the lineup in the Gold League. Here's the lineup in the Blue League. And I say that. That's what he said. And they put up the like a score sheet, the brackets, the table, whatever you want to call it. Bing, bing.
Yeah.
We're off. This could have been a little stretched out. Had some room to breathe.
Well, one of the things with AEW is they're petrified that something will be on screen for too long and people will change the channel. But like, if people are going to change the channel because the Blue League standings are up for 9 seconds instead of 3 seconds, you got way bigger problems. Yeah. So put the graphics up there for a while. Say everybody's name. You know, we talked about this on Observer Radio. Not only that, it's like, you know, he's booked this thing out from start to finish. You have to. It's a round robin. It's a G1. So why we only have one match announced for next Wednesday when you know there will be no more matches? You know that, like, he knows what matches are probably going to be. The only thing I can figure is he's not sure who's available yet. Mm. And so he'll put whoever's available on the show. But, like, I mean, come on, we should know this by now. Like, what are the matches for the tournament next week? We don't know.
Yeah. He did announce some for Collision later in the show, so there's something. The Hurt Syndicate comes out for a promo.
Well, he knew those because Collision was taped. I mean,
you got me there.
Yes.
All right. So it's MVP. They're in Chicago. He's just standing between Shelton and Bobby Lashley. He's like standing between Walter Payton and Michael Jordan. My business card can change your life if you're smart, but if you're stupid like Swerve. And everyone cheers for Swerve, asks whose house this is. So MVP shows Lashley beating the snot out of Swerve Strickland at Full Gear. That's exactly what he said, beating the snot out of him. Show, don't tell. It's an important lesson for AEW, and they did a lot of showing in this show. They showed Bobby Lashley beating the snot out of Swerve Strickland.
But it was very interesting. They didn't show the interference.
Of course not.
But he is a heel. And so he was the one allegedly put together the package.
Yeah.
You know, Dave was all over why they didn't show, but it was like Lashley put the package together. He's a heel. Of course he doesn't show the interference.
Right.
He wants you to think that he squashed this guy.
Yes.
And there was interference, but, you know, he didn't show it in his video package.
Right. And so kicking off, they say they're here to win titles, channel that into money and power. Kicking off the Continental Classic is the standard of excellence, Shelton Benjamin. Universal cheers! Because everyone loves these men.
Yeah, this, I will say one thing about AEW. Their heel, babyface, like, it's all...
The dynamic?
From top to bottom. A disaster.
Their heels act like babyfaces, and their babyfaces frequently act like heels.
I mean, literally, MVP's promo was a babyface promo. He's talking about, like, Chicago Bulls in Chicago.
Yeah.
And everyone's cheering him. And he's leading them in cheers.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be a heel group beating up Swerve, who's supposed to be a babyface.
Blue League match.
Yes.
Mark Briscoe versus Shelton Benjamin. So they go over the rules, like, as the match is starting. The main tournament is all the same. Each match is a 20-minute time limit, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw. Everyone banned from ringside. And I must say again, if you can do that for these matches, why don't you do that for all of them? The playoffs have changed. It will be the Gold League winner versus the Blue League runner-up and vice versa. Then the winner of those two matches will face off. And all three of those matches, the semifinals and the finals, will take place at World's End.
That's a lot.
That's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on. Like, they do this in the G1, but the difference is, like, they do the two the night before, and the finals are the day after. So you have to work two hard matches if you're going to the finals.
Yeah.
But you at least are doing them back-to-back days as opposed to the same night.
Right.
So you're going to have to, like, open with a banger.
Yeah.
Have a banger in the second match. And then those guys that had those two bangers have to not get hurt and come out for a banger in the main event.
That's true.
Yes.
I will say this. I mentioned this on our last show, I think, or last maybe last Wednesday or last Thursday show. The great thing about the Continental Classic is it gives you a month of awesome television. The bad thing is, for that whole month, the only thing you promote is the Continental Classic and maybe the main event of the pay-per-view. And so the pay-per-view comes off flat. Doing it this way, you're promoting four matches for the pay-per-view. The three matches from the Continental Classic and whatever your main event's going to be, which is still up in the air. But it will result in three or four matches on the pay-per-view that are promoted and hyped and anticipated with all your television rather than merely the finals. So that's a good change. This match is awesome. This match is freaking awesome. It was two athletes competing in a sporting event, trying to get a win with obvious stakes at hand. And they're going back and forth the whole way. Shelton makes a tactical error of hitting Mark Briscoe in the head. Mark likes this. He growls, "Hit me." They actually did some kung fu. It was not the best kung fu I ever saw, but it was, in fact, kung fu. Shelton starts to launch him with superplexes. Gets a near fall with a super kick. Briscoe kicks out of that. But Shelton shakes off that disappointment. Gets his Explorer Slam and wins. It was a wrestling match. A well-worked, intense, physical, violent wrestling match. And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Bunch of people in the chat arguing about who's been valued and devalued, etc. in AEW, you know, the usual stuff. But can anyone argue this is the best Shelton Benjamin there's ever been?
It's not close.
I mean, he's miles beyond what he ever was in WWE. He's out there. He's 49 years old. Doesn't look it at all. Having these great matches. Killing blokes left and right. Looks like a killer. Place is going nuts. Getting pushed hard. This is the best run ever.
Tremendous stuff. Tony Schiavone interviews Mercedes Moné, says their championship match, Mercedes and Chris Statlander at the pay-per-view, the longest match in AEW women's history, and maybe the match of the year. So Mercedes puts herself over.
It was either the first or second best match she's ever had in AEW.
It was awesome.
It was a great, great match.
It was my favorite match on that show.
But we should not discard Chris Statlander, who is quite great.
Fair enough.
I still can't believe you like that match better than Ospreay and Fletcher.
I don't tell you, dude.
I don't either. Are you all right?
Both were awesome. I'm not going to argue with you for liking Ospreay and Fletcher better. But regardless, she put herself over, put Statlander over, declares herself the greatest TBS champion of all time. I showed how a real woman gets the job done right, she says. With a side eye towards Camille, in a case that was too subtle, she faces Camille and says, "Since you can't get the job done right..." And Camille cuts her off and says, "Shut up." And then Camille says, in this exact rhythm, this exact cadence, Are you stupid? Or are you dumb? I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. You can't fire me, she says. I quit.
She didn't pull it off nearly as good as Mercedes did that first time. But she tried.
Yeah. Mercedes freaks out. Crouching, you deserve it, which I laughed at. Like, it's not that big a deal. She's going to fire somebody who quit anyway. It's the same result. But anyway. So there you go.
They chanted, you deserve it, and Mercedes for getting quit upon.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she's going to fire the person anyway.
Doesn't matter. She deserves. She deserved it.
The result is what Mercedes wanted.
Doesn't matter. But no, Mercedes, that was not the result she wanted. The result she wanted was to fire and humiliate her.
I see.
But Camille humiliated her by quitting first, and then the fans reveled in it.
Yeah, Camille quit. She's not going to get employment now. So.
Did all I know is Camille walked off, and I thought, I don't know if we're ever going to see her again.
Eh, fair question.
I don't think they're doing a match together.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know exactly what happened, but like, there's a reason that they did this quickly and got it done. And whatever that reason is, I don't see that reason leading to a match. I think it's just, they're done. And maybe they'll do something with Camille, but I don't know, man. I watched this and it was like, they just got rid of that as quick as possible and we're moving on.
They did more to get the Costco guys over after the match than they did going into it. Showing the
yeah, because they realized we need to sign these guys.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Showing all the promos they cut, all the media work they did, clips from the match. I'm like, wait, did that fucker steal my boots? It looks exactly like the big Vinnie V boots. But he got the win. Everyone was happy.
Where'd you get your boots?
Stagecoach.
He probably did get them because he was a worker.
Yeah.
Like actually,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
He was a worker exactly when you were, so he probably got his boots from Stagecoach.
Yes, yes. So,
the hell do people get boots nowadays? High spots?
I have honestly no idea. I bet Stagecoach is still around. What are the websites?
I don't think they're still around.
Oh,
but like, I bought my boots at Stagecoach, and I wore those were the one pair of boots I wore my whole entire career.
Yeah.
They lasted me well over 20 years. You know, they're like folded in half and like cracking and everything, but they made it. Mm-hmm. I could put them on again tomorrow. They'd still be fine. I mean, those were some good quality boots that Stagecoach made.
So the guy got the win. Everyone was happy. He got it all done through a broken foot. In all seriousness, that guy is the man. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I have nothing against these Costco guys. They seriously, strongly over-delivered. Place loved them. There was no negative. I can't think of one negative to anything that they did.
Absolutely not. Chris Jericho versus Tomohiro Ishii for the Ring of Honor title. This fucking cowboy hat with a big old 9 on the front. This is Jericho's best gimmick since the blinking jacket. I laughed. So what we had here was two grizzled old veterans who just went face to face and chopped the absolute piss out of each other. The crowd appreciated it. I appreciated it. The learning tree is on commentary, and Big Bill explains. They cut to the camera that shows this, and Big Bill says, a tree that grows taller than the forest will get knocked down by the wind. And Tony Schiavone takes this in. He's like, God damn, that's deep. He was moved by this. So Jericho DDTs Ishii onto the top of his head. Just left him balanced up and down on top of his skull in the apron. Even Big Bill was horrified. And they go back to his slapping and chopping the absolute holy piss out of each other. This was what I was grateful for Thanksgiving. Jericho and Ishii having this awesome match.
You know, they beat the shit out of each other. They're bleeding all over the place. But I had somebody tell me that they saw Jericho put a blood capsule in his mouth. Maybe that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I do know that it was not a blood capsule that caused the side of Ishii's face to be beat red at the end of the match.
Or sliced.
And you know what? If you told me that Jericho did put a blood capsule in his mouth and also was bleeding from the mouth because they beat the shit out of each other so thoroughly, I would believe you. It was a very, very hard-hitting match.
Yeah.
It was just two grizzled, old, angry vets pounding on each other.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Fantastic. There was a point in the second half of this after the break where it just got ugly. They were on totally different pages. And like, I think Jericho was supposed to be blocking some of these shots, but he wasn't.
I don't care. That makes it better.
Exactly. And there's actually another match later on the show that's an even better example of this. But their solution to this was, we'll just swing even harder and clubber each other even more.
So, my favorite spot in this match was that fucking Jericho's on his knees, and a Shii goes for a sliding D, and Jericho from his knees does a boom,
and pops up, spins into a dude.
He hits a Shii right in the face, and this guy just went stiff and fell over.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yes, it was the second Judas Effect he hit. He hit a Judas Effect and Codebreaker earlier. Shii kicks out at one and then collapses. And then later, he gets the Enziguri, hits the ropes. Jericho pops up from his knees with the Judas Effect, hits one more, gets the win. This may as well have been a Continental Classic match. It totally felt like one.
Jericho. Hey, it was a Ring of Honor world title match.
Yeah.
That's actually, in theory, more prestigious
I suppose.
Than a Continental Classic match.
I suppose.
Regardless. But for a world title match, I thought this match was great.
Oh, yeah. Awesome stuff.
And here's the thing, too. Three shows now. Crowd sucked. They sucked on last week's Dynamite. They sucked at the pay-per-view, and they sucked on this show. And by sucking, I mean it took a lot to get them to react. But these guys got them. Ospreay and Fletcher got them. You know, here and there, that was on the pay-per-view. Here and there, people were able to get the crowd. And it took a lot of violence, but damn it, they got him for this match.
Renee interviews Swerve and Prince Nana about rebuilding after this loss to Bobby Lashley. Says he's been rebuilding. Rebuilding is something he does very well, but I've never been hit that hard in my life. At this point, Max Caster walks by, laughs at him, says it was brutal. Swerve takes offense to this, asks what's so funny. Caster says, you know, we're in this building where I beat you once for the tag team titles. And he, I guess he was supposed to do a rap. He was just talking. But he says, like, you're on fire. Like, your house fire. And so Swerve beats the piss out of him. Just tears him apart.
I don't know about this Max Caster, brother. I don't know what's going on. I mean, obviously he's turning heel. But, I don't know. Where the hell's Bowens? Where's Daddy Ass?
They were not booked tonight, I guess.
Where are they at?
They're not on the show. So Shivani interviews Hangman. Tells everyone.
You know what's funny about this? Do you remember when we were talking about this at on the pay-per-view recap?
People were very angry.
You remember how angry people were about how goddamn stupid we were to not understand all of this? Do you remember that?
I do recall that, yes.
Lo and behold, what happens? Tony says to Hangman, what in the hell was going on at the pay-per-view? And they did an entire segment explaining everything that happened, knowing that most people, most normal people, probably had no fucking idea what was going on, and they had to explain it to everybody. Yes, so those of you that were mad at me, get off my fucking back. It's clear that most people had no idea what was going on because they went out of their way to explain it. And at the end of the day, Christian and Hangman are not working together. It was a one-night agreement. So everybody that said, oh, it goes back and they've got this and that, it was a one-night thing. Hangman said it himself. We had an agreement for one night. He was going to cash in, I was going to help him, and then I was going to get a title shot.
Yeah.
But you fucked up, and so like it's over, it's done. Yeah. They're not together anymore.
That was his point.
Yes.
That was his point. And not only did Tony Schiavone ask what the hell's going on, but even Excalibur, the play-by-play guy, whose job it is to tell us what is happening, says, well, apparently, that's the exact word he used, apparently, there was a deal with Heyman and Christian Cage. So for the record, in canon, Excalibur didn't know what the hell was going on until right now.
Yes.
So anyway, Hangman runs his mouth for a while. He still wants to be world champion.
No, Vinny, he wants to be the AEW
men's world champion.
I laughed.
That's an important distinction.
You know, it is. I was thinking he might go after the women's title, but now that he's, you know, he's made that clear now, so there better not be any confusion among the viewers.
Right.
Hangman is not going for the women's world title, everybody. He's going for the men's world title, okay?
Okay. So Switchblade comes out, reminds us he beat Hangman at Full Gear and WrestleDream. If anyone's going for the title, it's me. Then it's time for more just, like, confusion stuff. So Pac attacks Switchblade. And yes, I know Switchblade was calling out Pac at the end of Full Gear. Wheeler Yuta attacks Hangman. And yes, Hangman attacked Yuta in that post-match brawl. So Switchblade then saves Hangman. Switchblade then saved Hangman. Hangman says, that doesn't make any sense. He lays out Switchblade. That made me happy. Marina then lays out Hangman. Jay White is able to avoid the briefcase almost. Hits Marina with the Blade Runner, which is the first time anyone's gotten even like a physical advantage on her. But Moxley arrives, chokes him out. Marina decks Jay, hip throws him, puts him in mother's milk, which we have not seen as it's a face-to-face choke. It's like a belly-to-belly choke.
It's actually, it would be similar to a rear naked choke in jiu-jitsu, except the person's facing you.
Yes.
And if you've ever done that, it's actually a neck crank.
Okay.
And it's not like a choke, but I guess she cranked his neck so bad he died because he went unconscious.
It was hysterical, but because, I mean, they've gotten this hold over as a choke before if you've ever watched her work. And his face is buried essentially in her bosom, but we can't see one eyeball. And that eyeball is frantically looking left and right for help. And he doesn't get it.
No one helps.
Great visual. So he's dead. They put the boots to him, hit him with the briefcase. They all leave. And then their partner, Claudio, makes his entrance for his upcoming match.
Okay, so when I watched this, they very much made it clear that Hangman wants a world title match. Mm-hmm. But Switchblade says, you don't deserve it. I have beaten you repeatedly. You have lost and lost and lost. By the end of this, it was all of the BCC standing only over Jay White. Hangman was gone. Jay White was in the middle of the ring, and everybody was surrounding him. And I thought, okay. Christian has a briefcase that he can cash in at any time. Why would he voluntarily get into a four-way? Yes, why would that? That doesn't make sense.
I had that thought too. Okay.
Hangman is a multi-time loser. Why would he be in a four-way? Mm-hmm. Like I know people keep talking about a four-way, but I watched this. I watched it with my two eyes, and I said, I think it's Moxley and Jay White in a singles match at World's End. Okay. I've since been told that no, actually, it's going to be a four-way. Now, granted, this could change, but I'm like, what sense does a four-way make? Why would Hangman be getting a shot at the world title? They're literally explaining over and over that all he does is lose and lose and lose. Why would he be in a four-way for the title? Christian, to be in a four-way, would have to give up basically his Money in the Bank briefcase, which like nobody except John Cena ever does, because like the point of it is to cash in at a surprise at any time. Why would he do that as a heel? So how they're going to get to a four-way, logically, I have no earthly idea, but apparently the idea is it will be that four-way at World's End.
Hmm. Yeah, that's all quite strange, but they do have a month. They have time to make it make sense if they really, really work at it. We have a commercial for World's End that doubles as a Dodge Ram truck commercial. It looked like a truck commercial. The Death Riders are driving their truck through the desert, lighting off flares. It's a commercial for World's End. I like that. Gold League match. Claudio Castagnoli versus Ricochet.
This is a classic example of what's up with this crowd lately. You got Claudio Castagnoli and Ricochet out there busting their ass, and the fans decide, we're going to have fun. We're going to chant, bald forever. Yeah. This is bald.
Yeah.
Bald, bald, bald. Both these balds.
I missed that one.
And to his credit, Ricochet, about 2 minutes into the bald chance, realizes, well, these people aren't really into this match, but they're into this bald shit. So he looks at the crowd, and he goes like this on his bald head. He fucking went nuts. And so he played up the bald chats and got himself over. So good for him.
Yeah. So they're doing this match, and they're clearly annoyed by the crowd reaction they're getting, but they're professionals and going about their business the best they can. It's all back and forth. It's all very exciting. And then, like the last few minutes, is the exact same thing as Claudio and Darby last week.
That's his new finish.
Claudio beats his ass and beats his ass and beats his ass, gets a sharpshooter, gets a crossface, tries to win by countout, and when the guy gets in at 9, Claudio lariats his head off and pins him.
Yes.
I do not know why Claudio Castagnoli, of all people, is suddenly getting this mega push. I like Claudio.
Because he's part of the main event angle with the BCC.
I like Claudio. Claudio's awesome. There's 87 top heels right now.
Well,
why do we need an 88th?
Here's the thing. This is a tournament, okay? He's the big, bad murderer, and there's going to be a moment where if he wins a match, he's like going to go to the finals or whatever, and some babyface is going to slide into the ring, he's going to go for that lariat, and they're like going to grab the arm and reverse into a backslide and pin him, and the place is going to go crazy. Something like that's got to happen. I think that's what this is setting up. Could be Darby.
I suspect in the end, Darby will get a big win somewhere, even if it's not the entire thing, but does he have to lose every match between now and then? But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Renee interviews Kyle Fletcher and Don Callis, who are bragging about their win. We decimated Will Ospreay. We skinned him. We left him in a heap. And we're just getting started. We're going to show that Kyle Fletcher's better than Will Ospreay in every single way. Credit to both men, especially Kyle, for getting those two names out there over and over and over again. Get your names mentioned. The Continental Classic is another way to prove we're better than Ospreay. It all starts Saturday, and they plugged his match for Collision. Great. Great. So I said that I did not love everything on the show.
God, this segment.
How is it possible?
Is somebody going to get mad at us for not liking this segment?
How is it possible that the worst thing in this company, maybe ever, gets worse every single week? My God. So the Undisputed Kingdom comes out, and specifically Adam Cole, Matt Taven, and Mike Bennett.
No Roderick Strong.
No Roderick Strong.
He's been killed.
He tore his arm off. He's been sent home. Adam Cole calls out MJF. He's a little bitch. I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. Out comes Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes.
And every single thing Kyle O'Reilly said contradicted something he has said earlier or was just an outright lie. Kyle says, Adam, you fought Max and it didn't work out. And I hit pause. Already, I couldn't take this. When the fuck did Adam Cole fight MJF? Unless you're counting the time he wrestled him in the main event at All In 2023, lost clean, and then started the whole devil shit months later? Is that what he's talking about? Because since then, Adam Cole has never fought MJF. So you're lying to me. So Kyle O'Reilly, who has been claiming that Adam Cole needs to let all of this go, this battle is too dangerous, your friends are going to get hurt, says, let me fight Max.
I nearly died.
I was throwing punches in the air.
When what Kyle the fuck O'Reilly are you talking about? Said, let me fight Max. A week after the show was hijacked by Kyle O'Reilly telling Adam, don't have your friends fight your battles. It's too dangerous to fight MJF. Let all of this go. A week later, he comes back. I want to fight MJF. And literally, all he can come up with is, I'm doing this for Roddy. Brother, that's exactly what you said nobody should be doing.
Thank
a
you.
Week ago.
You just,
a week ago.
You said just said we all need to let this go before somebody gets hurt. Now somebody gets hurt. Now you want to escalate. Fuck this. This is shit. This is absolute shit. It's so bad now that when Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly appear on my screen, I groan out loud. God damn it, I say. I have to watch this garbage.
Hey, at least you got a reaction, because the big problem is the last two times these guys have been in the ring together, it's just deathly silence. And people listen to it, and they're like, what the fuck is going on here? And we got it again this week.
So MJF appears on screen, way too smart to actually appear in front of these people with these guys. He's not focused on them. He won't wrestle them. Won't give either one of them a match. He will be in the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal next week to retain his diamond ring again.
Now, I hesitate to even try to fantasy book based on what's going on.
No, I'm
going to
cut you off. I don't care.
No.
I won't let you. It's not worthy of discussion.
I'll make it quick. The only thing that makes any sense is Adam Cole costs MJF the match. And for the first time in 5 years or whatever, he doesn't win the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. That's why he decides he'll face Adam at World's End. That's the only thing that makes... And now what Kyle O'Reilly has to fucking do with any of this, I don't have any idea. None whatsoever. But I think that's the easiest way to get to where they're going here.
As I recall, the Devil storyline won the worst feud of the year, the Observer Awards last year. I think it's significantly worse now. Significantly worse now.
Well, here's the thing with the feud this year. It's not doing anything for business. Like, as much as people hated the Devil storyline last year, it actually did business last year. People complained about it, but like the segments always did well on television. The pay-per-views with MJF always did well. This year, there's none of that. So if I had to vote for one of the years as being the worst, it would be this year, not last year.
Hangman Page is fighting Wheeler Yuta on Collision. I understand. Yuta is the one the Hangman attacked at the end of World's End and that whole thing where he was trying to help Christian win. But my God, can we just have babyfaces wrestle heels for a while? And I say this as the Continental Classic is going on. We're going to get a lot of guys in the same locker room fighting each other. But we don't need a heel versus heel match on every single show. And it's tournament season!
Yes.
That is the term Excalibur used.
It's like CMLL.
They put up a graphic on my screen, which should have been simple. It wasn't. as part of Wrestle Dynasty International Women's Cup qualifier. We have a four-person tournament, three matches with the brackets. It's Jamie Hayter versus Queen Amanada tonight. Willow Nightingale and Serena Deeb on Collision December 7th, and the finals on Collision December 14th. The winner goes to the International Women's Cup at Wrestle Dynasty on January 5th.
Got all that?
There are six logos on my screen right now. One of which, the Wrestle Dynasty logo, has like five logos on its own.
It's a lot of logos, brother.
Plus AEW and TBS in the corner. Yes. It's not their fault, but still, information overload. So the first of those matches is, in fact, Jamie Hayter versus Queen Amanada. This is the one I was referring to earlier, where a lot of this was like really ugly. They were on different pages. Their timing was off. But there was no point here where it felt like anything other than two fighters trying to win. It never felt like a dance. It never felt choreographed. It never felt like they were working together. Boy, did it not feel like they were working together. But it felt like a scrap.
I mean, it was definitely a scrap. I mean, there was good stuff in it, but man, someone on the board was like, Queen Amanada has become incredible. I was like, what match are you watching, dude? Like, this is a mess. And then she almost killed Jamie Hayter.
It was like, well, at least once a match, she would just about kill someone.
She did a running something.
Face wash, boot in the ropes.
Yeah. And she hit her shin right on Jamie's face.
Yep.
Jamie looked like she got knocked out. Mm-hmm. Amanada covers her. Jamie doesn't kick out, and the ref just stops counting.
Queen stopped covering her. Queen pulled herself off the pin.
And the crowd's booing. Yeah. And then somehow, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. Because it's AEW, they let her continue, even though she appeared to be knocked baddie. And they did a few more spots, and then she hit her haterade and won.
Yeah.
Scared the fuck out of me, that spot.
I hope she's okay.
Yes.
As a product, watching at home, I thought it was physical, violent, ugly in a good way. So Jamie Hayter wins. Assuming she's healthy enough to advance, she will then be in the finals on December 14th. Or the finals of the qualifier, I suppose. Then the lights go out. There's a spotlight on the stage. And that's it.
Yes.
No Julia Hart.
I think it's very clear Jamie Hayter wins this match. Willow Nightingale wins the other match. Jamie faces Willow. Julia Hart's interference caused Jamie the match. Mm-hmm. Willow, who has done many New Japan matches, yes, goes to the match
right at
Wrestle Dynasty.
That all works for me. Renee interviews Mina Shirakawa.
My favorite wrestler.
Mina knew, deep down, this day would come for a long time. If Mariah can do it to Toni Storm, she can do it to me. This is the real Mariah May. She's selfish. She will kill anyone who gets close to her. That's the exact word she used.
Wow.
If that's the real Mariah May, it's time to introduce her to the real Mina. Just then, Mariah runs in from behind, breaks a bottle over her head, whips her with a belt, declares she wants Mina. It is made official. Winter is coming 2 weeks from tonight. Mina Shirakawa, Mariah May, Women's Championship.
I'll save my fury for that show.
They recap Daniel Garcia winning the TNT title at Full Gear. They announce Garcia versus Okada, which for right now is champion versus champion for Collision. Okada is the international champion at least until the semifinals. His title's on the line in each match. His title is not
on
the line in each match.
It's not on the line.
The winner of the tournament gets it, but he's the champion until basically he's eliminated. And I guess Garcia's TNT title is not on any of the line in any matches.
I don't understand why. I guess it doesn't matter.
I don't understand why you put another champion in this.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone's confused about last year, okay? A champion can be in it and lose all the matches, and it doesn't matter, okay? And if somebody beats one of the champions, then you can have championship matches once the tournament is over. So it's fine for a champion to be in it. Like, everyone keeps getting confused because no one can remember what happened last year. Eddie offered to put his titles on the line in that tournament, and he ended up winning the whole thing and getting all the belts. The thing that I think they should just do, because I think it would be easier, is just whoever is the Continental Champion vacates the title when the tournament starts. If they win it again at the end, they win it again at the end. If not, somebody else gets it. But going through as the Continental, I don't know, it doesn't matter, I guess. But like, apparently in UFC, you know, you're not really defending your title in each match. You're the champion, but you win the match, you're going to get a new belt. You know what I'm saying? You don't retain the belt.
Yeah.
It's like you go into the match and no one's champion, and then the winner gets their belt when it's over.
I got an ad copy once, and I was at the fishing magazine. There was this big sporting expo, and Matt Hughes was there, and they described him as something like a 14-time UFC champion. I was like, what?
Yes.
And then I realized they were counting every single match.
That's how it is. Yeah, it's like when you win, you get a medal.
Sort of.
So you're going in as a defending champion, but like you're getting a new trophy at the end, even if you're the champion and you don't retain, really. You get a new belt. So you defend the title 9 times, you go home with 9 belts.
Basically.
You're 9-time champion.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah. It does kind of, you know, if he doesn't win, at least we know for sure, the TNT title is not as important as the Continental title. Brody King versus Darby Allin. So last week, Claudio destroyed Darby in a match that was like 90-10, and Darby got like zero offense the last 3 or 4 minutes. Then Darby, a sore loser, attacked the...
ran him over with a car.
Tried to murder the Death Riders at the end of the pay-per-view. So he comes out here in the Continental Classic. We get a video package recapping the many previous encounters between these two. Darby is wrestling this match before the tournament has even begun. He is bleeding from the head. He has a leg injury and perhaps internal bleeding. He's taped up like a mummy. The whole point of this tournament is that it gets grueling and you get worn down. He's starting with his health bar at zero.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Darby.
And it's also Darby. So Brody just manhandles him. When we come back from the break, for about 3 or 4 minutes, we had lost the announcers, which actually was nice.
It was nice, but damn, it was weird. It is weird watching wrestling on national television with nobody talking.
But it was almost like the early pandemic era where you can focus on like Darby groaning in pain for minutes on end. And the announcers came back and started screaming at me again, which is their job. They do have things to plug. So Darby did get some offense. He makes a big comeback, gets a pair of coffin drops to the floor. Then he throws Brody into the ring, tries a coffin drop in the ring, lands in a choke. And he briefly tries to fight his way out of that, but then Brody just releases the choke, powers him up into a gonzo bomb, drops him on his head, and pins him clean.
Yeah.
Are we certain that Darby Allin's supposed to be a top guy?
Well, I'm sure he's going to get a lot of wins. It's possible he might win this thing. If they want
to... Stranger things have happened.
I mean, here's the thing. I figured that Darby and Moxley was the last match. Darby beats him for the title. I thought Tacoma, other people have said maybe it'll be All Out or whatever. But keep in mind, he's supposed to be climbing Everest.
Also true.
So, I mean, if they want to get that match in before he climbs Everest, then you could argue he's going to win the Continental Classic and get that shot in like January, February or whatever, and then go climb. So I guess we'll find out. I mean, obviously he's being murdered repeatedly for a reason. He's going to make a comeback in this tournament. Question is if he wins or not.
So Brody goes to leave. Claudio appears with a chair, hates this Darby Allin fucker, going to kill him. Brody sees this, has respect for his enemy. It's a respectful rivalry between him and Darby Allin. He grabs a chain, they have a stare down, and conveniently, those two hosses will face each other next week.
Excellent. Now that's a match right up my alley.
It will be awesome. It will be awesome. I thought that was a very good show.
I thought it was hit and miss.
All right.
I thought it was, there was some good stuff on the show, but there's, you know, got a lot of questions about a lot of things. But we'll see where it goes.
Did you like it more than WWE NXT?
Oh, God. Like, I have a love-hate relationship with that show. This Ava character actively, strongly hurts my enjoyment of NXT. Because her character is so fucking incompetent. She is the worst general manager I've ever seen in wrestling. I'm talking Mike Adamly. I'm talking these nerds in World Championship Wrestling back in the day.
The anonymous GM.
The fucking anonymous GM was better. I mean, fucking Jack Tunney was a total idiot. I mean, he was better. I mean, she is absolutely the most incompetent GM ever.
It may be sabotage at this point.
I don't know what it is, dude. She may be a
double agent brought in to bring the company down.
I actually think I know what's going to happen here. I'll explain it when we get to it. Yeah. But goddamn, what a fucking way to get to it. Yeah.
So we watched WWE NXT, November 26th, 2024. They're back in Orlando, apparently nicknamed City Beautiful.
Huh.
Which is not how I remember it, but maybe it's gotten prettier. A recap of Ridge Holland ending Chase U. They're doing all the match clips, and there's like super exciting music, and then there's the pinfall, and there's sad music playing. Everyone's slumping or just outright weeping. Chase U's dead. I go back to the arena. The Chase U theme plays. The fans are surprised and happy. They bring out the big banner. And who runs through it but that fucking dick? Ridge Holland. Just look at this asshole. Just enjoying everyone's misery. The best heel in wrestling right now.
He really is.
And all
he's fucking amazing.
And
they
all
hate this guy.
And he's enjoying it. He's thriving. And all he says is, I told you so. Trick Williams, I'll see you at Deadline.
People are furious.
That's all they had to say. That's it. Done. This is awesome. Tonight on NXT, Tony D versus Sean Spears in a fucking stupid North American title match. That's not their graphic, but that's may as well be what they said. Fallon Henley versus Tina Paxley for the North American title. Women's North American title. Ethan Page versus Axiom in an Iron Survivor match. Iron Survivor qualifier. So they're doing this match. All the tag team geeks are shown watching this and muttering amongst themselves backstage. They're doing a double down spot like they've been fighting for 50 minutes. It's been maybe five. And as they're selling, they're plugging the Survivor Series and Vic says, Booker, you competed in War Games. Booker says, don't go there, Vic. Like whenever Vic brings up anything in Booker T's career, Booker doesn't want to talk about it at all. So it's Ethan working over with submissions and backbreakers. A lot of backbreakers in this for a long time. We get a second commercial break. Axiom has this crazy ass flipping DDT. It looks really, really cool. Ethan cuts him off again, hits more big backbreakers. And he tries the Eagle's Edge off the ropes, gets Hurricane Ronned. But when Axiom pops up, he runs right into a big lariat, and that's the finish. This is not quite as dominant as Claudio and Darby.
This almost was Claudio and Darby.
But similar.
It was very, very similar. There was two commercial breaks. Yeah. I mean, it was a really, really good match. Axiom is great. Ethan Page is great working with these small guys. They had that one spot where they decided to try a fucking tilt-a-whirl head scissors from the apron to the floor. And goddamn, Axiom, like, I guess he was supposed to land on the apron, but like he missed and he went fucking straight down on his head. And if you watch it, he fucking lands on his head and I think like he probably must have thought he was dead because like he just lays there for a second. And then you can see Ethan's like, you know, he's starting to move. And if you watch, Axiom reaches his leg out and he puts his leg on Ethan Page, like, don't move. Like, don't move. And you can see Ethan looking at him like, holy fuck, is this guy alive? And like, they kind of do whatever. But apparently Axiom was all right, you know, once he kind of figured out he wasn't dead. You know, he got back up and just kept going. But fuck, it was the scariest looking thing. I watched it like six times that he just goes for the tilt-a-whirl and goes boom, straight down on his head on the ground. And away he went.
So Sarah interviews Ethan in the ring. This dude is big. This is a tank of a human being. And he has worked a very intense paced match. It went like 10 minutes all told. No loss of breath at all. He's talking totally fine. He could do five more matches like this. He's running his mouth until Nathan Fraser interrupts. He's running his mouth. Vows Ethan won't be able to keep up with him. I'm like, dude, he's doing just fine right now. So Ethan says Axiom is carrying the weight of Nathan's tag team, the driving force of that tag team. And Nathan Force says Axiom is not the driving force. And he stops himself. Axiom's gotten to. He's pissed.
He's right there on the floor looking at his partner saying he's not a driving force.
That's right. Nathan's trying to apologize. Out comes Wes Lee in his new haircut.
Fans are chanting, who are you?
First he comes out. It's much shorter. It's not like a buzz cut, but it's a much shorter haircut. And the dreads are gone. They openly laugh at him. They're just like pointing and laughing at him.
Because he had an awesome haircut that made him look like a star.
Yes.
And then he just like cut his hair off for no reason. No hair match, nothing.
He looks like a teacher now.
Looks like a fella.
Now they're chanting, who are you? He giggles a little bit because it's kind of funny. Javon interrupts, runs his mouth. OTM interrupts. They call it the tag team champions.
I was like, what the fuck is OTM doing out here? Then I remembered Ava's stupid ruling. Mm-hmm. Goddamn brawl breaks out with all the fucking tag team.
Again!
Third straight week we've had riots because of a ruling.
So first I asked, is this fucking program ever going to end? And I was like, end? Is it ever going to advance? Well, they've been having the same tag team brawl for 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
For those that don't follow along, 3 weeks ago. No, actually it's 4 weeks ago. Because 4 weeks ago says, Ava goes, next week, Axiom and Nathan Frazier, I will choose your opponents. And the next week Instead of choosing the opponent, she tells all the tag teams, you guys all need to prove yourselves. But because she's fucking incompetent in her job, she doesn't sign them to matches so they can prove themselves. She doesn't sign them to anything.
No.
So they just have riots backstage for 3 straight weeks. They're fucking up matches. They're interfering. People are getting hurt. And for 3 weeks, Ava has done nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it all comes to a head tonight.
And what a conclusion.
God.
The babyface women are chilling in the locker room. Stephanie and Lola Vice are talking to each other in Spanish. Ren Sinclair overhears this, says Lola is stupid to go back after Jada Parker after Jada smashed a brick in her face. Lola talks about what she's going to do to Jada and says these fists don't lie. And I guess somewhere in here she challenged Ren because Ren asks, what have I gotten myself into?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, the match is official. Okay, whatever. Ashanti the Adonis is... Well, Nikita, to be fair, Nikita Lyons is trying to flirt with Ashanti, who is giving her time. He's not that into her. He basically says, I'm not into you right now because I'm chasing Carmen Petrovich. But he does admit that, yes, he did, in fact, text Nikita. Carmen hears this. She's pissed off at both of them. Nikita buries her, and she leaves. And then Carmen buries Ashanti. She leaves. Everyone's sad and angry.
We still have not gotten to the point in the story where I am supposed to care that these two get together. So I just watch it, and I'm like, okay, you're an idiot, and you're an idiot. And, like, go be idiots. Like, who cares? But I'm supposed to, like, care and want to see them get together. Not working.
Ren Sinclair and Lola Vice. So this started off awesome. They're doing double legs, doing waistlock reversals, rolling in a face lock.
That's some
good
wrestling early.
Turning takedowns and arm bars, stacking to escape. And there's a part where Lola keeps escaping arm locks. So Ren takes her back down into a different arm lock, and it's all great. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but halfway through this match, Lola tries the Three Amigos. I say this as Lola Vice's biggest fan. These were terrible Three Amigos.
Apparently, she had never done them before and decided to try them in this match.
I see.
And virtually nobody understands how to spin the legs to do the turnover.
Yeah, pop your hips up and then twist.
Well, it's got to be like a spinaroonie. It's got to be like a windmill if you're a break dancer. Mm-hmm. And most people just say they try and lift their legs up and just turn. You got to, anyway, the point is she can't.
Yeah.
And she did. It was just, oh my God.
And maybe she knew it sucked and it threw her confidence off, but suddenly this thing fell apart. It looked like they both forgot the spot at one point. Dempsey wants Ren to cheat. She refuses. She is slammed off the stairs, but then comes back to kick Lola into the stairs for nothing, because Lola is back in the ring, hits a back fist that looks more like a chop, and pins her. So basically, pinned her with a chop.
Yeah. It's a back fist, really.
It's a back fist. I mean, it started good. It was not good by the end.
My only problem, really, with this match, I didn't even care about the Three Amigos, but my thing, and this always bothers me in wrestling, is when you have a specialty, and someone who doesn't have the specialty prevents you. So I'll give you an example. Lola is a former Bellator fighter. She's an MMA fighter.
Sure.
Okay. She fucking throws a kick, and, like, Ren just catches her foot and gives her a lariat. I'm like, no. This kicking is, like, it's her specialty. She's a former MMA fighter. They talk about it all the time. Some rando should not be preventing your MMA. If you want to try something other, that doesn't matter. It's a little thing, but it's irritating.
It would drive me nuts for many, many years. Kurt Angle would start all his matches by getting out-wrestled on the mat.
Yeah. Like, it's like you sign Hicks and Gracie, and he puts someone in an armbar, and he gets powerbombed. Like, what?
I realize the fans always cheer because you're a heel, and they like it when you get humiliated, but this doesn't make any sense.
No one should be out-wrestling Kurt Angle.
No.
Ridiculous.
So Lola cuts a promo threatening to take Jada Parker underground. Tony D tells Rizzo that Luca and Stax will not be out with him tonight. They have the tag team shit to focus on. Spears and Brooks are laughing and bragging about how they manipulated their way to this title shot. If you weren't with us last week, Sean Spears is getting a title shot because Brooks Jensen lost a match last week.
Yeah, so they manipulated their way into a title shot. Yes. Hell of an intriguing. I don't even know what the word would be. Scheme?
Plot?
Yeah.
Tatum Paxley is playing with dolls.
Grown woman.
Fatal Influence bury her. Tell her she'll never be champion and playtime is over. Tatum says their past will haunt them, which indicates she knew what was going to happen at the end of the show. It didn't help her out. A mystery hand is shown picking up the dolls.
Man, I gotta say, I'm old. I admit it. I'm an old man. But fuck, am I supposed to feel sympathy for Tatum Paxley, a grown woman playing with dolls, and the heels come in and kick her dolls away, and she's sad, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? She's 23 fucking years old.
Tony D'Angelo versus Sean Spears for the North American title. They're doing a championship match, a North American championship match. We must cut backstage because all the tag teams are brawling again.
Yeah, we got another riot. Where the fuck is Ava?
She's around, as we later
on. Don't give a shit.
Indifferent.
Matches are getting ruined.
Yeah, yeah. So Tony's knee is getting worked on. He tries to run. His knee gives out. He tries a spine buster. The knee gives out. And Spears gets a figure four. Keeps kicking to the leg. And finally, Spears escapes that figure four. Gets a spine buster out of nowhere. Gets the win, but it's sort of that desperation win. Like that was his last shot. If he didn't get the pin, then he'd been in big trouble. They try to double team him afterwards. Sean Spears and Brooks Jensen. He's fighting them off, including a back body drop.
Yeah.
Just like
it was horrible, too.
Well, it was.
Virgin took the worst bump for this back, and I don't think it was his fault.
In 2024, that's like a shooting star. Call your friends. A guy did a back body drop on TV.
But then that goddamn guy in the car showed up.
Nico. What do we know about him?
Nothing.
His name is Nico.
We know absolutely nothing about him, except we know he's got a driver's license. Actually, we don't even
know. We don't know that.
But he drives.
He can drive a car.
Yeah. I mean, he's hanging out with criminals, so maybe he doesn't have a license.
That's true. So they lay Tony D out. So we see Kalani Jordan and Julia preparing for their match when Vic screams in this tone, "Wait! The tag team still haven't separated?" I don't know why this is news. It's been a constant.
I know. Where's this guy been, dude? It's been three fucking weeks.
So they're brawling.
He's right. Like, why is this still going on?
Yeah, but his tone was not like, the tag teams still haven't been separated?
Yes.
It was more like he was surprised.
Yeah.
He was happy almost. So they're brawling in the parking lot, fighting up a ton of cars, and shattering glass in the most unrealistic manner possible. Guys are getting thrown onto the hood of a car, somersaulting over the hood, hitting the windshield with the heels. The windshield shatters. They play Steve Austin's music to get the sound effect in there. But I don't know what happened here, but between this and Jada's fake brick, the props department at NXT is putting in lots of overtime lately.
Hmm.
We are apparently at Chiefs.
I saw that brick. I don't think they have a prop department. Someone went to Bed Bath & Beyond and got a big sponge.
Sure. Apparently, we are at Chase U's actual campus, which is massive.
Yeah.
Giant complex. All
land.
And then he's in his very small room, Andre Chase is, packing up a box, reflecting on the good memories and the bad ones. He sets them all in a box. He's carrying them away, and he sees his name on the door, sighs, and starts to walk away. He walks down this hallway alone, and we hear a mystery voice shout, "Hey, Mr. Chase!" And he turns around.
So, yeah, they played it up like he's just, like, leaving his own university, even though the stipulations were that he just couldn't have anything to do with Duke, Thea, or Riley. So I think it's going to happen the way I thought it was. He's going to start a new Chase U, and he's going to be a heel, and they're going to be very upset. I think that's what's happening. God damn, if it was Bodie, I don't think it's Bodie.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
But fuck,
that'd be great.
That would be incredible if they brought him back.
That'd be awesome. Hadn't thought of that. No, I wanted to have him.
His name, Bodie Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope I
awesome.
I will forgive them for everything. If they bring back Bodie to redo a heel Chase U, fuck. God damn it.
Kalani Jordan versus Julia in an Iron Survivor qualifier.
God damn, this is what I've been talking about. Kalani has so much potential, but they have her do these stupid matches with the other green women, and it's all gymnastics, and it makes no sense, and it drives me batshit crazy. Well, they got her in here with Julia, and they ain't doing a choreographed gymnastics match. Julia had a wrestling match with her, and Kalani was right there with her the whole time. It was Kalani's best match in I don't even know how long. It actually felt like a professional wrestling match, and she did like one spot. She tried some gymnastics move, and Julia just fucking like kicked her head off or something. And I was like, yep, do not do gymnastics with Julia.
Nope.
And I thought this match was really good. Julia pinned her with a Northern Lights bomb. Like, This was like the original Kalani when she first came in, when they didn't have her doing gymnastics. And it was like, God damn, she's like having good matches already. And then it went into full gymnastics choreographed mode. Now we had a match like this, and it's exactly what I saw in her. So hopefully they can keep doing this.
I did laugh. There was a point in the Ethan Page Axiom match where Axiom tried, I think it was an armbar. He tried a submission hold, and Ethan perked him up and powerbound him. And Booker referenced Rampage Jackson, who did something similar in Pride. Well, here, Kalani and Julia did literally the exact same thing. It was a triangle choke that Kalani hooked her up and powerbound her. The exact same Rampage Jackson spot. But Booker had already mentioned it, so he didn't bring it up again. Roxanne's watching backstage, and I did like the finish here because they were going back and forth the entire way. No one had any momentum. And then Julia got on a run, and she had a flurry of big moves. Kalani got one more desperation cradle, but Julia kicked out of that, hit the Northern Lights bomb and won. So while it was 50-50 for the first, like, 10 minutes, the last two were pretty much all Julia, and she was the winner by the end.
Yes. Liked it.
Here's...
This was the low point. This was a segment where they better bring Bodie Hayward back, because it's going to take a lot for me to get over this segment.
So Ava has all the people who have lost qualifiers for Iron Survivor.
These losers.
Most of them, yes. She explains there's one spot left in each match. She is booking two different last chance four-ways, one for the men, one for the women. The winners of the four-ways will each get an Iron Survivor. Eddie Thorpe's very upset about this. He only lost his match due to interference. Now he has to beat three people. Ava ignores him because she's horrible at her job. And speaking of being horrible at her job. All right.
I know.
It's like a month. I think it's a month ago now. A month ago, she told Nathan Frazier in Axiom, I'm going to find you some tag team challengers.
Yes.
It's been three weeks of chaos and bullshit since. She's finally come to a solution. And what is her brilliant plan?
Now, hold on, Vinny. Mm-hmm. Before you even get to that, okay? It has been so long since she said she was going to find challengers for them, okay? Mm-hmm. That they have nothing to do.
The champions.
She says to the other tag teams, you all need to prove yourselves. I'm not going to name a number one contender. The champions are so fucking bored with nothing to do that they both enter the Iron Survivor Challenge qualifiers. Nathan Frazier wins his match. He's in the Iron Survivor Challenge. Axiom loses his match, but Ava says, hey, you get another shot next week. So in theory, they both will be in the Iron Survivor Challenge.
That's right.
So now.
One will be for sure.
Yes.
Yes, yes. So with that in mind, with 3 weeks to think about this, to come up with a plan, how could I possibly find a set of challengers? How could I pick all from all these teams and pick just two men to face Nathan Frazier and Axiom?
She said, by the way, I told the teams to step up a few weeks ago, quote, and that clearly ended in chaos. It took you 3 weeks to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. So her grand plan, her genius solution.
After a month,
I'm just doing a battle royal. I'm doing a battle royal where the winner will get a title shot. And the winning team will get the title shot at deadline.
When she said that, I had the same reaction that I had when Kyle O'Reilly said that he wanted to face MJF. Yeah. I said, what? You're a babyface GM, and you have just fucked over Axiom and Nathan Frazier, who both, by the way, said the same thing. They said, what?
Yeah, they were as outraged as you were because... they have to do double duty now.
Yes, they're like, hold on a second. I'm already in it. This fella here may be in it next week, and now you're telling us that we have to defend the tag? She's like, yep.
So while they're outraged with Ava, and they're outraged with each other, because Frazier pointed out Axiom isn't qualified yet, so Axiom hates him now, up comes Josh Briggs and his friend. And his friend is from NOAH. And they've been very good about getting graphics for people on screen lately. They did not hear. They didn't put his name up there. I don't know his name yet. They say, we want to talk to you. They say, not now. At that exact moment, all the other teams show up to brawl some more. She still hasn't solved anything. She still hasn't solved anything.
Still writing.
Ava starts to walk away. Because why wouldn't she? Why, her job here is done. She has made a decree. She has done her task. Eddie's not done with her. He's still protesting. She says to him, and I quote, "I've given you everything you want."
That was the biggest lie.
You liar. Liar.
He has tried to speak to you, not just on this show, but for weeks now. You have blown him off every last single time. Yes. The one thing he wants is just to be placed in the Iron Survivor Challenge because he got screwed in his match by the brawling tag team.
It's her fault.
That are directly brawling because of Ava's bad
ruling. I didn't
think
about that until right now. It's her fault he got screwed.
It's all her fault. Yes. And he rightly says, now I have to beat all these guys. She claims I gave you everything you wanted, which is a lie.
Yes.
She then says, don't you ever lay your hands on me.
He grabs her wrist as she's walking away. And she says, do not touch me. And that's the cue. Now, I will say, I thought the execution of the next thing was tremendous. She's like standing in the middle of an open doorway. And that was her verbal cue. Do not touch me. It was for all the other teams that are brawling. At that exact moment, somebody shoves somebody into the door. The door slams into Ava and she goes down.
Yes.
I did think the physical execution of that spot was done very, very well.
It was.
The rest of it was so... like the worst. The absolute worst.
The problem was, we're supposed to feel sympathy for Ava, but all of this is her fault.
Yes. She's...
like, the reason she got knocked down is because the tag teams are brawling because of her ruling 4 weeks ago. And during the brawl, which has taken place for 3 straight weeks and she's done nothing about it, during the brawl, someone gets hit in the door and she gets bonked and knocked down. Turns out she's fine. Of course, thank you.
We go to commercial. We come back. There's a bunch of crew checking on Ava, including, of course, Shawn Michaels. Eddie tries to explain himself. Shawn goes off on him. Pushing him back, pushing him into the wall. You put your hands on her! Rock's gonna fire me now! He didn't say that, but he's very upset about this. And for the record, Eddie Thorpe should not have grabbed her by the wrist. That was a bad thing to do. But he's not the one who knocked her down.
No!
That was the other dudes.
No!
We go to the announcers who've watched all this unfold. They're somber, like Eddie threw her down a flight of stairs. So I'm laughing at that.
So this person here says, Hikuleo is going to become Ava's bodyguard / enforcer. I think you're close. I think it's going to be Lance Anoa'i, who was there in NXT. And I think we're going to get Lance basically fighting for her honor against Eddie Thorpe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who, by the way, in this scenario, it's like, Eddie Thorpe, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be the heel here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Trick Williams comes out for a promo. First thing he says, Ava's going to be fine. I know her bloodlines, he says. Last week, Chase, you ended. He was very sad. But Ridge Holland was very happy. That made Trick mad because he came with people who love NXT, like DIY, like Braun Breaker, like Tiffany Stratton, like Ilya Dragunov. And he stops and he thinks for a second about if he really wants to say this. And under his breath, softly admits, even people like Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah.
That moment was so awesome. That moment was fucking great. The wound is still hurting. And he also still misses his friend. Both of those things are true. So all those people also like Chase U lay their bodies in the line to build NXT. Ridge, you just destroy things. That's why I can't let you become NXT champion. If you do, the brand will die. I thought Trick was awesome here. This is a great promo. Trick rules. So Ridge comes out, agrees that the brand will die, which begs the question, why do you want to be champion if then you'll be out of work? As he's ranting his mouth, controversy follows me, he says. Who should appear on the big screen
in 2024?
But Eric freaking Bischoff.
Yes.
He's very fascinated by all this. Next week, he's coming to NXT. If you think things are tense now, by the time I'm done with you, you'll want to destroy each other in Deadline.
It's like they already do. What are you talking about?
I'm not quite sure.
What in the world is he coming to NXT for?
I don't know.
This made no sense.
But between this and the ECW Arena show, it's just a nostalgia trip.
I guess so, yeah.
my takeaway from this is, I can't repeat this enough, Trick was out of this world.
He was quite great.
Trick was tremendous here. Charles Dempsey confirms Rand Sinclair is okay. They meet up with their buddies Miles and Tavion. They're banged up, but they're happy to be in the Battle Royal. And this is where they inform Dempsey that she will be in a fatal four-way with a chance to win and go into Iron Survivor. She's horrified.
Yeah.
It's the worst idea she's ever heard. She doesn't want to fight three women.
Very, very lacking in confidence, she was, Ren Sinclair.
She was fighting for a chance to get into a five-way, but now she's afraid of a four-way.
Yes.
Right. There you go. So next week, the two four-ways, Jada Parker versus Kalani Jordan versus Cora Jade versus Ren Sinclair, and then Eddie Thorpe versus Lexus King versus Axiom versus Cedric Alexander. The six-team tag team battle royal, based on the graphic, appearances by not only Eric Bischoff, but also X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac's going to be there.
An amazing pair when you think about their history.
Yeah, they'll be there.
Yeah. And again, we bring up Booker T's past. Vic says, used to be the NWO. And Booker's like, yeah, for 1 week, and then Shawn Michaels kicked me out. There you go. Tatum Paxley versus Fallon Henley for the North American title.
It's a good match.
Fallon Henley is really good.
Yeah, and you know what? Tatum Paxley is good in the ring, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has no right to be, honestly.
For all the bullshit she does?
Well, no, seriously, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about she was signed 3 years ago.
I see.
No experience whatsoever. Never done a single match. Had a cheerleading and powerlifting background. Barely ever works because they don't do that many house shows. Mm-hmm. Trained 100% at the Performance Center. And man, she's in there. You'd never know.
Yeah.
She's, as a worker, gimmick absolutely sucks. It's a horrible gimmick. But as a worker, she does a really good job. And yeah. I thought they had a very good match.
An excellent TV main event. And they keep colliding for double downs. Tatum finally makes her actual comeback. Fatal Influence is out there doing their thing. They do a distraction. Fallon gets a pump handle suplex for two. She goes up top. She slams off the ropes. Tatum Paxley is a 450 splash. I did not see that coming. She's fighting off interference.
It was a good one, too.
Yeah. And she fights off interference. She goes for her finish, but Fallon blocks the rope, grabs the ropes to block it, hits a Fame Asser and wins. Fallon, like I say, is excellent. This is a very good match. Now, it is interesting that Fatal Influence interfered throughout this match, and then Tatum knew she had help, but that help didn't arrive until after the match. So that was weird. But they're continuing the beating when Gigi Dolan's name appears on all the screens. There's like 87 screens in this building, and it's on all of them. Booker, Vic screams, is she here? Yeah, she is here just in time to let Tatum lose. But she does beat up Fatal Influence. Honestly, she looked quite great for this.
Yeah, she looked great.
And it appears she and Tatum have formed a weird girl tag team to feud with the pretty girls.
Yes, yes. Hopefully Gigi can, you know, get her away from them dolls.
Hmm.
But anyway, I thought that, you know, there was some good stuff on this. There was some good stuff. It's just a love-hate because the stuff that sucks totally sucks. But the stuff that's good is good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, I thought the main event was good and the post-match was good. And so I left with like a positive feeling.
Okay.
Even though a half hour earlier, I was just so full of rage. Just so full
of rage. Honestly, it was just the one segment.
At that goddamn Ava segment. Well, it was the one segment, Vinny, but it goes throughout the entire show.
That's true. That's
like
true.
They're brawling teams the entire show. She does nothing about
this. This is the key. It's not one horrible segment that came out of nowhere and they went away.
Yes.
It's been like, weeks of build to be horrible segments.
As a viewer, you're watching 3 weeks of writing going, what the fuck is going on? Like, that's why true. Is nobody yeah. doing anything about this?
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody, hey, if you love this show, it is Black Friday, and so you should sign up. The website is WrestlingObserver.com. It is half off right now. Half off. The coupon code is Black Friday. If you want to get half off at WrestlingObserver.com, that'll give you all of the podcasts, 84 a month. That'll give you the Wrestling Observer newsletter and archives of Figure Four Weekly, the message board, all of the news, the members area of the website, everything. That is half off right now at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you only want podcasts, you want to pay less, you can go to Apple Podcasts at F4WOnline.com/Apple. That is F4WOnline.com/Apple. And 3-day free trial. Free! You can go and listen to all the shows we have up on Apple Podcasts. And we got a bunch of new shows coming up this week, including Observer Live tomorrow and a Wrestling Observer Radio and Brian and Vinny show, talking Survivor Series. And Vinny and I and Sean and
Rodney
are all going up to Vancouver.
Just confirmed within the past 24 hours.
We will have a live report from Vancouver, and you can hear it free at Apple Podcasts at 4wonline.com/apple. And there are, every now and then, YouTube does specials, but we're not allowed, like, we can't do anything, so we don't have any YouTube specials, but you can sign up video.f4wonline.com and get all the shows on video, and you should do one of those. We're also on Spotify, f4wonline.com/Spotify. So if you like the shows, sign up. Use one of the Black Friday specials if you'd like. And we got a lot of stuff coming up over the next few months, including the Christmas show.
Oh, God.
Which is coming up.
Oh, God. All right.
I dread it every year.
But figure something
like
out.
It. Yeah. So that's it, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with more. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.